Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Okay, so far in this week's edition, we've touched on the importance of immigrants to the tech industry. We've also talked with Giga Ohms, new publisher and owner, about not only the shift in that site's coverage, but also on the societal ripples that artificial intelligence technology seems to be causing. Now we have some consumer tech coming up, something more grounded for our day-to-day. David Pogue runs the tech page for Yahoo. He's formerly of the New York Times and a multiple title author. He does a lot of video stuff, too. David also has a first-of-its-kind project, a crowd-funded science show for PBS. It's on Kickstarter. We'll talk more about that, and here's our chat.
David Pogue, tech columnist for Yahoo Finance.
David, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for the time. And I'm wondering, coming out of this weekend, we're having a bit of a travel ban, temporary travel ban, an executive order coming out of the White House. A lot of Silicon Valley is lining up against it. I'm wondering, have you heard anything officially from Yahoo?
No, I haven't heard anything, but I haven't looked for it either.
Okay. Just wondering if there was an official statement yet. Figured I had you on the phone, and you're my best contact at Yahoo. I was wondering, you said, I know you have a hard out from this interview. You got a video coming up. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, every week I do one or two videos for Yahoo Finance and a column. This is a weird one today. I'm talking about my experiences with Apple's new laptop, the MacBook Pro, which is really not a MacBook at all. Apple has changed the charger, the keyboard, the jacks, the battery, just about everything that can be changed on it. And it really has required some adjustment. There have been some leaps forward and some definite steps back.
You know, I was speaking with Guy Kawasaki last week in an interview that he and I were doing together with somebody else, and he has one of the new MacBook Pros. And one of his major cons is there's no recharge light on the charger to let him know that his Mac is actually juicing the battery. Do you have any kind of quibbles like that?
That is, in fact, one of them. However, so this is sort of a pros and cons video, and it's sort of a diary of my life with this thing. And one of the delightful discoveries is that Apple has replaced all of its standard jacks on the sides with USB-C jacks. These are not an Apple standard. These are an industry open standard. Every manufacturer is rushing to adopt it. And what that means is you can buy replacement chargers for your Apple MacBook from other companies for a third the price. Mm-hmm. So I picked up a Dell laptop charger for $27 instead of $80, which is what Apple's cost. And it does light up to show when it's getting a current. So
okay.
I enjoy that a lot.
You know, you bring up a good point about the ports on the side, USB-C being uniform for Apple now. It seems like that game changes every couple of years, and that does cause some consumer pushback. Are we going to get the same kind of consumer pushback with this generation?
There has been pushback, but I think it's all downhill from here in a good way, meaning that USB, which is being replaced, that's 20 years old. So we really had a good run with that. I think that the advantages of USB-C, meaning like there's no right side up or upside down, there's no right end or wrong end, it's interchangeable from phones to tablets to laptops, it's interchangeable from brands to brands, you know, like the Dell charger being used on an Apple laptop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard it called the Jesus jack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it does everything. It conducts power and data and audio and video over a single cable. It's just so compelling, and it's tiny.
Obviously, USB-C is a wired technology. What about wireless technology? Is that the future? I mean, I saw a headline last week where Android users should get used to the idea of not having a headphone jack.
That is true. You know, I've heard it explained to me that on the inside of a phone, that 52-year-old headphone jack requires almost a 1-inch square component. And on today's phone, that is a huge amount of interior real estate to dedicate to this wired, tangling, ancient technology. And that's the reason they've all been dying to get rid of it. Apple isn't the first company to get rid of it in the iPhone 7. They're actually the third major company. Motorola got rid of it, and Leico got rid of it in China. So the other companies will be rapidly following suit. There's no question. And honestly, once you use wireless audio, once you've actually tried it, you'll stop complaining. It's just so much more. I mean, it looks really Neanderthal to be wired to your audio source these days.
It really does. And even charging, frankly, with a wire seems a little antiquated to me, too. So
It's true. People are working hard on that.
David, speaking of working hard on the next wave of things, if there was something in the pipeline for consumer electronics and you could pull it forward and put it into market right now, what would that be?
Well, it's not even my idea, and it's well underway. The huge story at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, earlier this month was Alexa integration. This is the Amazon Echo, and now every device and its mother has Alexa responses built in. We're talking about washers, dryers, doorbells, vacuum cleaners, dishwashers, cars. Ford has started putting in their cars. All these things, the dish satellite cable box, all of these things now respond to Amazon Echo commands. So you can say, well, I shouldn't say Alexa, because all your listeners, Amazon Echoes, are going to respond.
That's right.
you can say, Alexa, is the dryer done yet? Or Alexa, lock the house. Or Alexa, open the garage door. Things like that. Everyone's been trying to get the Internet of Things
right
to catch on. But it hasn't been, just because it's too much fuss to open your phone and unlock it and find the app just to turn on the light. But now you can just say, Alexa, turn on the living room lights, and it happens. So I think Amazon has found the stealth way to make Internet of Things a thing.
One of the other headwinds for Internet of Things, of course, is security. So when you were at CES, were you seeing a parallel push for security within those devices?
Not as much as I should have. The bottom line is it's a gold rush. Every company is rushing to market with Internet of Things. And that means there's not a lot of time and not a lot of money for proper thought to security, especially when it comes to little companies. I mean, the stuff you're going to get from Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple, they'll be probably fine with security. But you got to worry about the smaller companies, the startups who don't really have that as a huge priority.
All right, David, I know I only have you for a few more minutes, and we appreciate your time. What's your newest project you're working on? Anything coming up soon?
This is a big one, yes. NOVA, the PBS science show for which I have been a host for 16 or 17 episodes, is launching a Kickstarter campaign to raise money for a new two-hour science special. And I think it's historic for a bunch of reasons. I mean, it's public television seeking funding from the public. And to me, it could not be more timely. I think there's a certain anti-science feeling in the air in this country right now.
That's fair, yeah.
And yet, if you think about it, science is going to be our ticket out of every problem: climate change and feeding the world and curing disease and, mastering electric cars and so on. It's all about science. This is not the time to be losing interest in science. So this is going to kind of an interesting test to see if the public will be willing to pony up $1 million for us to make a major two-hour science movie that will be, can be shown in science classes across the country. It's really kind of exciting.
Absolutely. It sounds like a wonderful project. So we have Bill Nye, we've got Neil deGrasse Tyson, we've got David Pogue all lined up reminding us that science matters.
we try.
We're going to get on Kickstarter and try to get you some funding for that show. David, thanks again for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
That was David Pogue, chief of Yahoo Tech, and budding television producer, apparently. I don't think he has that credit on his resume yet, so after accomplishing so many other things, I can see why he'd want to add that one. We have a link to David's Kickstarter campaign at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Techonomics. We hope you had fun and enjoyed yourself. We did. If you'd like to re-listen to anything from this or any other show, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics, or you can pull down the podcast wherever you procure your weekly infotainment. We aim our podcast segments mostly at iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Techonomics. We post a playlist of the music we use each week at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Some forgotten jewels there, like this one from No Doubt. It's a cover, though, if you didn't know that, so I put both up, and maybe somebody can explain the original video to me. I just don't get it from Talk Talk. A Okay, for producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Namaste, and have great weeks, everybody.